From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to Let the Bible Speak. In just a few moments, you'll hear a message from God's Word, right by Dr. Alan Cairns, the minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing to study the life of Christ, Dr. Cairns is preaching on the subject of Christ, the Savior and Satisfier of the Soul. On the seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles, recorded in John 7, verses 37 and 38, the Lord Jesus invited all who thirst spiritually to come to Him and drink. It's an invitation that still stands. Before coming to the Word of God, Dr. Cairns uses today's hot topic to declare, it's time to halt the Sodomite bandwagon.
I'm going to speak very plainly, so if you don't like plain speech, you may not like what you're about to hear. For years, the so-called gay rights movement has tried to persuade Americans that their aim is benign, that they're interested only in fair play, meaning that homosexuals should be allowed to live their private lives as they wish, without being harassed by the rest of us, or discriminated against in employment. Gay advocates are liars. Their agenda is far from benign. So bold have the Sodomites become that they're now flaunting their real agenda, which is the radical refashioning of American society to make it a reflection of the diabolical immorality of the Sodomites and their fellow travelers. If you want proof of that, just have a look at what the Sodomites are pushing for the school systems in California. A new California law, SB 777, was touted as nothing more than anti-discrimination law. While this law doesn't formally require inclusion of homosexual material, opponents have been quick to point out that it does now ban anything that can be perceived as being discriminatory, up to and including references, this is in school textbooks, to mom and dad or husband and wife. The new law demands no teacher shall give instruction, nor shall any school district sponsor any activity that promotes a discriminatory bias because of a characteristic. That's, of course, including perceived gender. A list of school resources sponsored by a homosexual advocacy group called Safe Schools Coalition suggests that for those who are only 2 years old, there's Felicia's Favorite Story, which tells how she was adopted by her two mothers. The list also promotes a book called Are You a Girl or a Boy? A resource for children ages 4 through 8 that advocates homosexuality, bisexuality, transgenderism, and other alternative lifestyle choices. It's described as, and I quote, a sweet book about a gender-different kid. Other resources include books authored by officials for Planned Parenthood and the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network. One book called Tackling Gay Issues in School is for kindergarten through grade 12 and offers a rationale for the inclusion of lesbian, bisexual, gay, transgender issues in school. It features recommended extracurricular activities for classes. It's time to say enough is enough and to demand a halt to all such perversion of our children and our educational system. No one has the right to take the law into his own hands and abuse homosexuals or anybody else for that matter. We're not a nation of vigilantes, we're a nation of laws. Let's keep it that way. However, our laws should be changed and changed quickly. For too long, spineless politicians have caved in to the immoral lobbying of the pro-sodomite agenda. They have made a mockery of the United States Constitution to find rights and protections that the founders never dreamed of. They have used this great document on which this nation was founded as the basis for undermining the foundations of our society. It's time to call a halt to all such pandering to the vile interests of the sodomite lobby. Why is it that in this election season we are not hearing candidates grilled about what they will do to give us a Supreme Court that will allow the states to their constitutional right to declare sodomy and its associated perversions criminal and to ban the imposition of the sodomite view of society on our children? Wake up, America, for you're being betrayed from within. It's time to halt the sodomite bandwagon.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the life of the Apostle Peter. The articles will be both informative and inspirational. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
On the seventh day of the feast, the priest made the circuit of the altar, crying, "Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity." Not just once, but seven times, so that it was as if they were encompassing Jericho's walls again, only this time they were encompassing the altar of God, crying for His salvation and His intervention and His prosperity. So that last great day of the feast was called the Day of the Great Hosanna. Here then is the scene to which our text in John chapter 7 introduces us. Given the words that the Lord Jesus spoke, I think that it's not difficult to determine at which point in the proceedings of that last great day of the feast that He uttered them. The reference to the ritual drawing and pouring out of water is too unmistakable. Jewish rabbis used to say that anyone who has not seen the joy of the drawing water, as they called it, does not know what joy is. And certainly this was the point at which the joy and the exuberance of the people reached its climax. And for a very good reason. They understood what it meant. They knew that the drawing and the outpouring of the water was the symbol of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Commentators have argued about what we read in John chapter 7, where Jesus says, "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And they have searched the Scriptures and they can't find any place where the Scriptures ever mention waters flowing out of the belly. An idiot is always an awful sight to see. An educated idiot is an even worse sight to see. Instead of looking for references to the water flowing out of the belly. What the Savior meant was the spiritual implication of it, of the outpouring of the Spirit. And that is a major theme of Old Testament prophecy. And the Jews understood that. And thus, they were full of joy. Imagine the scene then. The priest arrives back at the temple from Siloam, and he pours out the water by the side of the altar. The chant of the great Hallel swells until it fills the air. The priests march around the altar 7 times, crying, "Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity." When they reach the end of their 7th circuit, there is a brief interval while other priests prepare the festal sacrifices. And at that time, that is immediately after the symbolic outpouring of the water, immediately after the circuit around the altar and the repetition of the great Hosanna, the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ rose strong and clear, filling the Temple Mount. And he cries, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." In other words, he was giving them the true interpretation of everything in which they'd been engaged. And I tell you, in all the ministry of Christ, as recorded in the 4 Gospels, there is no greater, no more glorious, or no more public proclamation of his messianic claims and message than he gives here. Today I want us to join the throng on that last great day of the feast. It's difficult to move from one culture to another. It's difficult to move from one period of history to another. And I have taken all the time that I have this morning to try and paint the picture of what was happening so that we may try to enter into the thrill of that majestic moment when he who spake as never man spake lifted up his voice and cried for all to hear, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Let's try to grasp what Christ's words must have conveyed to those who heard them, and what they must convey to us today. Because as I look at these words, I find that the Lord Jesus Christ sets forth himself as the Savior and the Satisfier of needy souls. And he invites all who long for God's salvation to come to him and find it. And then when he gives this invitation, he actually paints three beautiful word pictures of himself. And I want us to concentrate on those this morning. He sets forth himself first and foremost as the fount of saving grace. Amid all the pomp and the pageantry and the somber ritual of the Feast of Tabernacles, the Lord Jesus says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." It's as if he were saying to all those thousands of Jews gathered there, "All that you've been seeing and participating in, all these things are symbolic.
in themselves, they have no power to meet the needs of your souls. They carry no inherent saving virtue in them. Their only purpose is to point you to me. Just yesterday you were asking, is he the Christ? Now here is your answer. And if you feel a need, deep and real, within your soul, if you feel the need of grace to remove the guilt of your sin, if you feel the need of pardon and peace in your heart and in your conscience and peace with your God, you know that all the ritual in the world can never meet the needs of your soul. You know that after all the exuberance is past, and after all the chanting and the singing is over, and after all the fellowship is finished, you know you're going to have to go home. And in the loneliness and the solitude of your own hearts, you know that nothing that you have done has lastingly met the need of your soul. These cannot meet your needs, but I can. That's his message. I can. In days of old, the Lord Jesus, in effect, was saying, in days of old, Jehovah stood up and addressed Israel. And he said, as recorded in Isaiah 55 and 1, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Well, once again, Jehovah stands before you with the very same word of grace. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. The Lord Jesus also was reminding these people, this feast recalls your wilderness journey. When the Lord brought you through the wilderness and brought water out of the rock to satisfy your needs, I am that rock. I am the fount of all saving grace. That's the self-revelation that the Lord Jesus Christ gave that wondrous day on the Temple Mount. And what a glorious truth it is. I want you to understand what it's saying. Never forget it. There is an abundance of saving grace, fresh and flowing and never ending. There is an abundance of saving grace for every needy soul. There is an abundance of grace in Christ to meet the needs of the thirsty soul, to save him, to keep him, to sanctify him, to satisfy him, to bless him, to build him up, to refresh him, to revive him, to keep him in life, to bring him through the wilderness, to bring him to glory and set him in heaven. There is an abundance of saving grace for every thirsty, needy soul in the Lord Jesus Christ. The needs of the soul cannot be met by religion. Even, let me say it very solemnly and searchingly, even by God-ordained religion. The Feast of Tabernacles was not dreamt up by the mind of man. It was instituted by the mind and will of God. But even in God-ordained religious ceremony, there is no power to save. Understand that. It was speaking of the God-ordained service of the Lord's table, that Jude spoke of men who were twice damned and plucked up by the roots. They said they are spots on your feasts of charity, while they feast themselves with you without fear. There are people sitting, feasting at the Lord's table, exulting in taking part in a God-ordained ceremony and celebration, and they are damned to a lost eternity.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.